I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They fired their head coach down there in the swamp today. Dennis Allen, Dennis, common spelling, Allen is spelled A-L-L-L-L-L-L-E-N. So he's fired, okay, because Mickey Loomis, Mickey common spelling Loomis, L-L-L-L-L-L-O-O-M-I-S, is still there as the general manager. We'll get more into that coming up in a few minutes. It is a Falcons victory Monday.
Yes.
Okay. And if you had told me, I just forget everything else. Look, you can nitpick, and we all know the trade deadline's coming up. We're going to get into that. Okay. You can nitpick all you want because it's fine. It's fair. Mm-hmm. Because now what you're nitpicking about isn't about nitpicking about whether or not the Falcons could be relevant. You're nitpicking. Understand, everybody. You too, Randy. You're nitpicking about whether or not the Falcons can win the Super Bowl. That's what you're nitpicking about.
Okay.
I was just nitpicking.
I was just nitpicking because I didn't think they played as good as they could have played. That was I nitpicking.
Yeah, well, I didn't think about
no Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's what, when you're complaining now, you're complaining we need to be better.
Yes.
Because the goal now is to win the Super Bowl.
Okay,
because
I mean, that should always be the goal, right?
Well, yeah, but it's not usually legitimate. Okay, so, if I had told you that we were sitting here on Monday, November the 4th, hey, by the way, top of the hour, Andy Bunker off today. He'll be back tomorrow, so John Fricke filling in for him with Randy Mack. If I had told you, we're going to be sitting here on Monday, November the 4th, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And by that point, the Falcons would have beaten this year, however it happened, have beaten the Philadelphia Eagles, the Swampers, Tampa Bay again, and the Dallas Cowboys, would you have said, damn, son?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously not, but that's before you know the scenarios and everything that goes on with how the season plays out. No, I wouldn't probably think. Nah, I hate to say no. I don't know. You just wouldn't have known. I thought yesterday the Falcons were good. I thought that they should have had more. I don't think that the game should have came down to a damn onside kick. Now, you talked earlier in the show, John, about, you know, I know we talked about Kyle Pitts. That was, you know, the best thing that Kyle Pitts did on that play outside of recovering the ball. He didn't wait on the damn ball.
Right.
You know, the kicking
team. That's what happened to Dallas. Julio waited on the ball.
The kicking team has to wait.
It was Julio. Yeah. Dude, it was Julio.
The kicking team has to wait. The receiver team does not have to wait. Now, if you don't wait, you better fall on the ball, and which he did. But, yeah, that was the best. I mean, and you know, that was my only thing. But I was like, oh, why did it? And then I look back and like, well, hell, Dallas ran 20 more plays than the Falcons did and everything like that. But I thought, you know, just with the limited plays they had, they were efficient. I thought Bijan was outstanding yesterday, outside of the fact that sometimes he had to make four guys miss. You know, he had so many of his plays could have been a lot bigger if that first guy would have been just nicked, John. I mean, this dude does such an excellent job of just making a guy miss, and I just love I love everything about the way he plays, everything like that. But I mean, I thought, you know, Dallas, you think about the Darnell Moody touchdown, John. Like, that's what, when you talk about bad football team, that's what you do. How in the hell do you not pass that off? You're supposed to zone it. And I thought it was a great play design, and I don't know who we're going to have on this week, John, because we usually get coordinators on, and I hope it's Zach Robinson, because I want to ask, was that a check that Kurt went to throw that touchdown to Moody? Because it's like, okay, we know Dallas is not going to pass this off. They're going to play man-to-man. Well, hell, all you got, I mean, Diggs can't get over there before Moody can get to his spot for the touchdown. I mean, it was just such an excellently called game by Zach. Outside of having, you know, Kyle Pitts block one-on-one against a known pass rusher with no help on the outside, other than that, I thought he called a really good game.
And let's not forget that Mooney touchdown. Well, let's play it for you. This is a cut 19 here. This is a fourth down play.
Yeah.
It's a fourth down play.
How about this, John? How about we hit the NFL no huddle, and then we'll go to that one?
Okay, a little NFL no huddle for you.
I love the play, man. I love the play you had. I mean, you had the bunch kind of set right there, and instead of Dallas passing it off or planning to zone that thing up, they went man. And Stephon Diggs, Trayvon Diggs, who had Moody man-to-man, got picked. And, I mean, he blaming it. You can't get mad at nobody but your defensive coordinator and your damn teammates for that happening, because it wasn't an illegal pick at all. Not one Falcons player ran into him. He ran into his own damn teammates, which was, I mean, just an outstanding play call.
Sorry, I was just looking on the Elon Musk thing, the X thing here. See, Mike McCarthy, I'm just seeing if he's been fired yet. Oh, no. Because I
– They need to fire him and break that damn tablet the way he did. Mike McCarthy, you called that play. All right, you called the fourth down play. All right, now, Dak, I don't know if there's a check because usually, John, I've been in those situations with that speed sweep. If there are two guys outside of the guy, then you can't block him. You know, you can't influence him or anything. So, Caden Ellis, oh, let me give him a shout-out. That dude played his ass off yesterday. Caden Ellis had, I mean, he was all over the place yesterday. When you talk about 13 tackles, he's on a fourth down stop, everything like that. He played outstanding yesterday. But, yeah, Mike McCarthy throwing down and breaking surface tablets. You called that play, Mike. He called it. And then they ran it again.
Yeah, yeah.
But then that's why I said, was that a check where Dak had to get out of it because they ran it again later on and they had the perfect look and they were able to get around. So you remember that game that CeeDee had. But, yeah, he throwing stuff down. Now, you know, when's the last time Jerry fired a coach? Was it Wade Phillips and then he promoted Jason Garrett? I mean, Jerry living in this delusional world right now. And I thought Mike Bell had the best tweet ever because, you know, Cowboy fans are Yankees. What are they? Yankees, Lakers, Cowboys, Duke basketball. Celtic, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they had a rough day. The Cowboy, whatever you want to call me. Like, I know true Cowboy fan, but then I know them fans who just like the Cowboys because they flash just like the Yankees. So they're having a rough week.
Yeah, no. As a matter of fact, if you listen to the Dallas fans, because looking on here, that not only do they want McCarthy fired, you know who they want as coach?
I know everybody wants Deion Sanders and everything. Deion said he was not coming to coach. Deion said he does not want to be
an
NFL coach.
That's what they said. That's
Deion
what they
said
want.
He does not want to be an NFL coach. He said that numerous times and everything like that.
I'm just telling you.
So I don't know.
That's who they I know. I'm just telling you that's who they want here.
No. You know who Jerry wanted? Jerry wanted Dan Quinn to be his head coach. Jerry wanted Dan Quinn to be his head coach, but he couldn't do that because he can't fire him. Jerry wanted Dan Quinn to be the head coach.
Well, you couldn't fire Matt McCarthy and just install Quinn like we should.
I don't
have
know. That's what
Quinn
I'm saying. Like they wanted. I'm pretty sure that Jerry wanted Dan Quinn as the head coach.
Okay, and just saying. You know, sometimes you know you can't let that guy go. And now I look at that, and we'll get a CDQ later in the year. That's going to be a really important game. Not only is it going to be a fun game to have, but it's going to be an important game too. On top of that, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. Here's a couple quick updates here on the Falcons. Here, Drake was riding the bike after the hip injury, and we don't know the extent of the hip injury, but he was on the bike on the sidelines, so that indicates there's no, you know, structural damage to the hip. Now, whether or not it's going to bother him enough that he can't play Sunday, we'll find out. And Torrey McElhenney of AtlantaFalcons.com had this update on Grady. He said that Grady, who left the game with an Achilles strain, Grady said in the postgame locker room that he feels solid and that leaving the game was for, quote, precautionary reasons, and Grady thinks he's going to be able to go on Sunday too. So that's good news.
Yeah, man. I mean, because whenever you see Achilles, you don't never read afterwards. You just see Achilles like, oh, and then I saw a string. And I was like, okay, Grady looked like he's going to be okay. And then you said precautionary measures and everything like that. And so hopefully that's nothing that'll keep him out for a long period of time. And hopefully that's not something that can, you know, we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to put that out there. As my boy Bo Johnson said, that we're not going to put that Gregory out there. We're not going to put that bad karma out there. And then with Drake, John, I mean, I've done that before. It is a painful injury when you're that high in the air catching a football and there's nothing to catch you but the ground on that turf. Yeah, it hurts. And it's going to hurt for a while. And I'm almost positive that he is sore as hell this morning, wherever he landed on the hip or the back or whatever. I just laughed that he did the damn celebration with the dude on his head and flipped over and all that stuff. So I was like, were you feeling it? Well, the adrenaline, you just caught a touchdown. So the adrenaline is like flowing through you. And then the next thing, like, damn, my back hurt. Damn, my hip hurt. And so hopefully it's nothing that's going to keep him out for a long period of time. But, I mean, you know, when you talk about just the perfect throw by Kirk Cousins, great throw by that, a great throw to Darnell Mooney, a great play call to, 34. Why am I missing his name? Ray-Ray. The touchdown to Ray-Ray McCloud. Obviously, that was a great play. But I'm just telling you, the play of the game to me, the attitude play, we talked about it earlier, was that Tyler Algier's touchdown run. Because he was 2 yards short of it. And then you saw Caleb McGarry grab him. And then you saw everybody just pull him in the end zone. Then I love watching Lindstrom dive with a pop. Now, they tried to throw a flag on that and everything. I'm glad they didn't. But I just thought that play right there was an attitude play. And I know Tyler won because he didn't carry the ball that much yesterday. But for him to get that ball and run with a straight attitude the way they did to finish off the Cowboys, I loved it.
This hour, the Victory Monday Midday Show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing because Dennis Allen got a guaranteed offer of buyout. Buyout. All right. Yeah, he did.
Come on, yeah. The man lost his job, true. John.
Yeah.
A man lost his job, man.
Wait, man, that's never happened to me. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah,
that's happened to me too. Yeah, okay.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Carolina won the game. How about that? Midday show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fergie and for Andy Bunker today. I got lots of questions in this segment for Randy Mack. But the first thing is, Randy, have you ever heard a stat like this out of the Swampers loss yesterday? Get the Bill Barnwell at ESPN says this. He says, the Saints outgamed the Panthers by 150 yards. They ran for more than 150 yards, and they won the turnover battle. Over the last 20 years in the NFL, teams that had outgained the opponent by 150 yards, run for over 150 yards, and won the turnover battle had gone 275-0 until yesterday.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy. It's a crazy stat. And I mean, Frick, we had a similar stat like that last week about, I can't remember who was playing what. But yeah. The Saints outgained, out everything them, and yet they still found a way to lose that football game. And that's the crazy thing about it, because you think about Carolina. I mean, some of their better players, I know Thielen, I don't think Thielen was playing yesterday, because I mean, he's probably going to be traded to either today or tomorrow, things like that. Bryce Young's in there, quarterback, everything. And I love how their coach, Mr. I got this, that he doesn't want to name a starter for next week. I think they go to Munich next week, and poor people in Europe, they got to watch the Carolina Panthers play. But – you know, it's just like, but yeah, for the Saints to lose that game, you get Derek Carr back, and first of all, I'm glad that Chris Olave is all right. I mean, you know, that was a scary hit. But the whole thing about yesterday was Michael Thomas tweeting during the game about Derek Carr. Derek Carr said. Derek Carr said, I've had all these teammates, everybody's liked me but him. Like, what is it?
You're going to get killed.
And John, I've been thrown the ball into a cover two corner, it hurts. Don't get me wrong. All right, it hurts when your quarterback throws you into coverage. Yes, it hurts. And I would feel a certain type of way about certain things. But I mean, it's been a blank show for a while down there. And now it's one of those things, John, down there in New Orleans where it's going to be a long rebuild, John, because they got to get all that bad money off the books, all that kicking it down the can. They got to get it off the books.
So maybe the rebuild takes, what, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to take maybe that long, John. Come on, come on, John. Yeah. Come on, John. Come on, John. Come on, John.
That'd be okay by me.
John, whatever. All right, I'm not getting into this with you, okay? We know that you are a born Saints hater. We understand that and everything like that. And we know that you like to see people, you know, the fact that they're going through that fan base and that team, they're going through it right now. All right. But yet, the Falcons have to go down there this weekend and they need to take care of business. All right. Damn that new coach.
So none of what you just said is true.
Okay. And everything.
So,
all right.
Now, hang on. None of what you just said, before you get into the new coach energy, none of what you just said about me being a hater is true. I just happen to be a businessman, okay? And I happen to have a corner on the market for selling paper bags down in the parishes around New Orleans. And so, I mean, just saying, you know, I just want to make some money. That's all.
Okay. All right. All right. No problem, John.
All right. So question number two.
Okay.
Play of the week so far, and there could be another one tonight, who knows, with the Chiefs and the Bucks tonight on 90.9 The Game. I'll give you three. The Bills' 61-yard field goal at the buzzer, okay?
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson's one hand, okay?
Yes.
Or Saquon with the reverse hurdle.
I'm just telling you right now, all right, I ain't never seen nothing like that, John, okay? Like, the first initial move was nasty. But for this dude to have his back turned and have his jump time to leap over a dude, John, my mother would call me after a lot of games because I was a leaper. I used to jump over people. That was my thing. Sometimes I've been caught. I got caught. We played the Falcons in San Diego. I got caught. Willie Moe called me in midair before. But I ain't never seen that like that. I ain't never seen somebody turn their back and then know how to jump. That looked like one of them wrestling moves, John, when you're going off the rope and you jump over somebody, then they come back and jump back. That's what it looked like. Just unreal. Unreal. I got a question for you because we're going all out of order. I'm my bad, Bo, and everything like that. But I watched that game yesterday, John. And, of course, N'Kobe Dean ends the game with an interception and all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
Their coach is going to cost them a chance to win a championship.
What do you think?
Yes. He's a
Sirianni is not a good game coach.
He's going to cost them because he's a dumbass. Just take the points. Just take the point. Everything was so good, John, these last 3 weeks. Jalen Hurts ain't throwing no turnovers. Everything was going good. And then as soon as something goes good for them this weekend, you just see him, he all back in his Nick damn Sirianni mood. I mean, he's a joke, man. And he's going to cost this team because of him.
Some of these young coaches, Dan Campbell cost the Lions a Super Bowl last year,
in my
opinion.
Yes, he did, because they want to rely on that damn sheet, John. That sheet. Whatever that sheet does, whatever it's on it, because we asked Raheem when we were up there at Flyer Branch, he wouldn't tell us what's on this sheet. I need to know what's on this sheet to make y'all go for two when you don't need to and just take the points. I need to understand that.
I know. What was Dabo thinking? I mean, it's just, doesn't somebody sit there and go, okay, I don't understand how you don't manage the clock. We had that problem with Arthur Smith, right?
Yes.
There was a coach this week in college football. I forget who right now. I know this has nothing to do with nothing. He called a timeout with 2 minutes and 1 second to go.
Yes.
In the game, forgetting there's a 2 minute warning now in college football.
Yes.
It's like
unbelievable.
The NFL this week, we've already had one coach fired. Will Mike McCarthy be fired? There's people in Dallas tweeting that it could happen. So we'll see if Jerry Jones pulls the trigger here.
No.
And the thing about that is, and this is going to get your new coach smell down there in Stinky Town, is that Dallas has got to be kind of looking at the Swampers and thinking, okay, if we have a guy, it's sort of like the draft or something else, or free agency, if we have a guy that we want, we've got to be able to get in on that guy now and try and start to make that happen here. I'm not saying it's prime. I'm just saying whoever you want, so that he doesn't start talking to New Orleans back channel. You know, they talk back channel. So new coach smell down there in New Orleans, not that they're just going to elevate a guy they have. What do you think happens down there this week, and how much does it motivate them to try to impress the new coach so that they don't get cut at the end of the year?
Well, I've been in a situation, John, twice, once in my career. You know, having a coach fired in season and everything, you buy in, and obviously, just like most of these things nowadays in this scenario, we won the next game with our interim head coach. You know, and because maybe it's because of the feeling that you have. Like, I don't think there's going to be anybody retained from this Saints staff, and I saw a name today, and it makes perfect sense as far as the next head coach for them, Aaron Glenn. It makes sense. Aaron Glenn has been in line for a new head coaching job. He's a defensive coordinator in Detroit. He's a former Saint. He's been in line. He's been interviewing the last 3 years for a head coaching job. It makes a whole lot of sense to bring him there. But you know, nowadays, the whole thing with coaches as far as getting head coaches are who are your assistants and who's going to be his offensive coordinator. Now, Ben Johnson, the offensive coordinator in Detroit, is going to be the number one sought head coach coming into this cycle. We all know that, so he can't bring him. Does he, and Bo made a great point about this earlier, you got Kubiak. He's a young play caller. It looked like it was working. Does he retain him? Because a lot of stuff revolves around, especially today, in head coaching searches, is about who your coordinators are going to be.
Well, plus if you're going to kind of, you know, throw in the towel here and make a run at Cam Ward, you're going to need somebody that can handle a quarterback and put in and install a new offense too. So, you know, I mean, that's another consideration here, because there's already, look, we're midway through the season. There's two head coaching openings already. There could be three.
It's going to be three, because I think Vegas is going to come open.
Today.
I think Vegas is going to come open because AP, I love
AP. So the
AP,
Jets and the Saints.
AP just fired the whole damn AP just fired the whole damn offensive coaching staff this morning. And so you're right there in that situation.
Yeah. Okay. So Vegas. Okay. So that'd be three. And then, of course, McCarthy in Dallas. And then there's others. It could be coaching changes in plenty of other places. Cleveland, obviously. You know, I mean, Stefanski's got to go, right?
Giants.
I mean, so
if Stefanski is fired, John, he'll be right up there with Ben Johnson on the coach. That dude can coach.
I understand that. It's not his fault.
He just dubbed a bad hand.
You know as well as I do, they're going to look at somebody and try and blame somebody.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I agree.
It's unfortunate. Mike McDaniel's under fire in Miami. I mean, look at Jacksonville. I mean, they've already – God, Jacksonville's going through – Carolina and Jacksonville, those two. Poof, man, what's going to happen in Tennessee now?
Yeah.
I mean, how patient are you going to be there? This is the problem because, you know, Carolina wasn't patient, right? And they went through how many coaches?
Yep.
They went through three coaches in 3 years?
Yep.
Right? I mean, okay, boom, boom, boom. So – Yeah, it's going to be – there's going to be a lot of people. The race to try to get to the top of this draft in the second half of the season is going to be intense because you have so many bad teams. You've got six or seven teams that literally are looking at – staring at 4-13 or 3-14 and don't care.
Yeah. I mean, if you're in that position and you know that obviously, you know, I don't want to say teams tank and all those other things, but sometimes talent makes you tank. You know, sometimes talent does make you tank. Sometimes talent is just it's just not there at that position. And so you look at there's certain scenarios around the league. And, I mean, you look – I mean, looking at the cut sheet Bo put together, I mean, you're looking down the line at some of these teams as far as – because the most prized possession position is the quarterback position if you're trying to get in line. Where we see now, we saw Spencer Rattler. You can tell right now they don't have a quarterback of the future down in New Orleans. You got to find a way to get in the draft and get you one of these guys.
Okay, so tonight, Tampa Bay, Kansas City, Monday Night Football in Kansas City at the whatever the hell the name of that stadium, Arrowhead, whatever they call it now. Yes. All right, so Kansas City, the only unbeaten team left in the NFL. We're rooting Go Chiefs. I don't know what their song is. Go Chiefs, go. Oh, Go Chiefs. Whatever the hell the song is. Probably a Taylor Swift song. I don't know. But they got to go. They got to beat the Buccaneers. If Kansas City wins the game tonight and they beat the Buccaneers by sometime later on tonight, somewhere just around midnight our time tonight, the Atlanta Falcons, with seven games to go, will be three games up in first place. Now, you're going to look at the standings and go, John, that's not true. They're only no. They own every tiebreaker with Tampa. The only way Tampa can win the division is to have a better record than the Atlanta Falcons. Right. So two is actually three.
Well, I mean, I think, yeah, obviously that's a big deal. And I do think the Chiefs will win tonight. I think just Tampa just so banged up and everything. And we know how Baker's a gamer and all those different things. I just think those injuries just won't allow them to win this football game because Kansas City has not played – well, Patrick Mahomes has not played his best. That offense is still gelling and everything. And obviously you add a Hopkins to something like that. So they're still not where they need to be. But I think that when you look at, you know, the way that Tampa is playing right now, they just don't have enough to keep up. Now, I could be wrong. And again, Baker is a gamer. That's why I love Baker Mayfield, because at the moment, you know, he can be in there and he can just find a way to will them. I don't think it's going to happen tonight because I like Kansas City to win that game tonight. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Falcons are in complete control of the South. They've beaten the Saints. They've beaten the Bucs twice. They should have, you know, they should win this weekend. And then you look at it from that standpoint. And, I mean, they just got to figure out a way once they get this division sewed up. Because I think it's sold up already, but it'll definitely be sold up when they win on Sunday. That they could, I don't want to say they could start seeding and start keep winning to see if you can get a better seed and work your way up to that one seed. Now they're probably gonna need some help to get the one seed in the NFC, because we talked about Detroit, John. They're really good. They are really, really good. And you're gonna have to put up at least 28 to beat them. To be in the game.
Right, your chance,
because they're gonna score.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and hopefully you don't even have to play them. Yeah. That would be the best thing. The phone lines are open, 404-726-0929. The question I have for all of you, and I want you to be honest here, okay? This is the question that would be where I'm doing my own show here. I would ask Randy, I'll ask Bo, all of you, is everything aside, where the Falcons sit right now, is it, after week nine, is it better than you would have hoped at the beginning of the year or not? This hour of the show, the Midday Show, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home, and start packing. You can sell it today at Mark Spain Real Estate. All right. Is it better than you would have hoped at the beginning of the year to be in this position after nine games on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game?
They'll not pass.
Good news about Grady Jarrett is that it looks like it's not, you know, anything too bad. Matter of fact, he could play this week. So that's kind of the good news here. We'll keep our eyes on that as the injury report comes out on Wednesday. Also, might be pretty good news on Drake. So that's all the good news. Welcome back to a Victory Monday. John Fricke.
I'm sorry, what's John, because I saw some news about Drake London. He said he has a hip pointer. And if anybody's had one, you know how they are very, very painful, but it's all about pain tolerance if you can play on them or everything. You had hit point, John?
That's why God made –
You fell off your lawnmower
God made
or something?
Drugs.
Huh?
Yeah, God made drugs.
Oh, but
– No, I had a concussion. I had a concussion in football, and I tore a hammy.
Hold
in,
on, John. John. You had a concussion.
What?
Well, you played with them damn soft-ass helmets, so, of course, you're going to get concussions in there. And you ain't fast enough to tittle damn hamstring, John.
Rounded third base in a beer league softball game, my right hammy went out.
Well, I mean, you did. Hold on. You did damn near tear your labrum at our last bowling tournament, so you might be right. Okay. All right. No problem. Okay.
Did you just call me soft?
No, I did not call you soft. I just pointed out what happened to you. If you said you did almost tear your labrum last bowling tournament, so I can believe that you almost put your hamstring round in third. I believe that. Okay.
I did. Yeah. It was up at the DuPont softball fields in Chattanooga, for all you know, that Offaly Highway. Everybody knows up there. They know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it was a long time ago. So the question to all of you at 404-726-0929, Randy, I'm going to have you answer it first. Do you think the Falcons are in a better place after nine games than you expected them to be at the beginning of the year? Now, look, notwithstanding the complaints you have about the team, let me just give you, at some point the playoffs become about math, Randy, so let me give you some of the math.
Okay.
Falcons are 6-3. Mm-hmm. They're in first place in the NFC South.
Mm-hmm.
They're the number 3 seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
They've won 5 of their last 6. They're 4-0 in the division. The only other two teams in the NFL that are 4-0 in their division are Kansas City and Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
They're 6-1 in the NFC. The Lions are the only other team in the entire NFL with 6 conference wins.
Right.
And the Falcons have already clinched season-long tiebreakers over the Bucs and the Swampers. They haven't clinched it over the Panthers, though that's a matter of time. And if the Bucs lose tonight, the Falcons will be 3 games up in the NFC South with 7 games to go. So are they in a better place after 9 games than you expected?
Well, I mean, I think, John, coming into the season, I knew they would win the South. I knew they would win the South, but I thought the other teams would be better. So I'm not going to say I would thought they would have been 6-3, but I'm not surprised that they're 6-3 because I thought that their quarterback play would be right where it is right now because of how Kirk Cousins plays in, season out, his consistency as far as yards, completion percentage, touchdowns, and all those different things. So, no, I'm not surprised that they're 6-3 right now, but I didn't think that the South will be as bad as it is right now.
Let's go to Billy in Cartersville. Billy, Falcons better about what you expected or worse than you expected after 9 games?
I think Falcons are much better. The Falcons are better than I expected after 9 games, and I'm actually here. It's a friend of mine, Bill Caesar, who is an analyst, defensive guy for the Lions. He's just passing through town. And he said, look, he's big Detroit, but he said the team that the Detroit people are worried about the most are the Falcons. And I think that that's a good sign. I think it's Detroit and Atlanta. I think on the other side of the scale in the AFC is, you know, it's Baltimore and Kansas.
Oh, yeah, we're not talking about them yet. Yeah, well, okay. If it is Detroit and Atlanta, though, if Randy, yeah, no, I got you, Billy. If it is Detroit and Atlanta, again, how can you not say, no matter what, how we got here, if Billy's right, Randy, it's Detroit and Atlanta, after 9 games, that's what we're talking about? It's the Lions and the Falcons?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of people knew that Detroit was going to be good. I mean, they just got this, they have a quarterback, they got an office and everything like that. And as we talked about, the thing with Detroit is this. You got to be able to put up points against them because their offense is humming right now. And Jared Goff is in a zone. They got weapons, and they play like that without Jameson Williams. Now, we all understand the scenario that he's in, so who knows what's going on with him. But the way they're running the football right now, John, is the thing that's giving them that edge and that balance along with the way Jared Goff is playing. So I think that the Falcons can put up offense with them. My thing with them is, can they get stops? And I don't know, and the same thing with Detroit is, do they go get a pass rusher right now in that scenario? Because I think the Falcons could put up points on Detroit.
But again, I'm going to take that as a yes. The Falcons are better than you expected at the beginning of the year after 9 games. Yeah, Hassan's in Austell. Hey, Hassan, welcome to the show. Are Falcons better about where you expected or worse after 9?
What's going on, fellas? First of all, man, happy Victory Monday.
Yep.
But the Falcons, man, we exactly where we need to be right now, man. 5-1 in the division, 5-1 in the conference, 4-0 in the division. You know what I'm saying? We just need to. I still think we haven't reached our full potential yet. Like, we haven't seen both sides of the ball just play to their best ability yet, to their full potential yet. But we still coming out with wins. So that's all that matters. But yeah, we where we need to be. We need to show a little more consistency. You get what I'm saying? To put a little more fear of God in our next opponents. You get what I'm saying? But yeah, man, we where we need to be right now.
Appreciate it, Hassan. And my question to Hassan is, what is the Falcons' top potential defensively? Like, I don't. That's my only thing. Is I don't understand that part, John. Is that, you know, people have, in my opinion, have a. Do people, do you and other Falcon fans, is there a higher expectation for this defense the way it's currently constructed?
Well, yeah, because it's not performing as it did under Dean Pease and Ryan Nielsen.
No. I understand what the other defense. I'm talking about this defense where it is right now. Do you think there's another level for the personnel that's on this defense right now and Jimmy Lake, who's calling this defense? Do you think there's another level that this defense can go to considering what the personnel is right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I think there's a scheme issue here.
Oh.
And I think what we saw yesterday quietly was a little bit of a change. Why suddenly is Caden Ellis all over the place, even though Bertrand is out and Troy Anderson is out? Why is Caden Ellis make a play? Because they're blitzing they tried to take advantage, obviously, mm-hmm. of the Cowboys line, but they're doing a little more. They were much more aggressive yesterday.
And Dallas still ran for 6.5 yards a carry.
Yeah, but until the last 3 minutes of the game, they only had 13 points.
Right.
So, again, I think that I want to see this team. I think they've been much too passive the first half of the season.
Jimmy Lake has been much too passive. And like I said, I like to talk about it because I love whenever I get the opportunity to listen to you, because I'm taking a little man to his football game, so I got a chance to listen to you and Joe P on the Way Forward Tailgate Show. And you made a great point. I talked about it earlier in the show. He's like, I don't want to wait anymore. Nobody wants to hear about we're almost close and all that, but your biggest thing is us. And I think Joe, I don't know if you or Joe made the point, is like, because how they play that too high safety, because they don't want to give the explosive play. How about maybe taking a risk of giving it a play? How about worrying about the fact that you paid this cornerback all his money to guard his guy, and you bring up guys in the box to help stop the run? So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, all right, let's go to Eric in Dallas, Georgia. Hey, Eric, welcome to the show. Hey, Eric, are the Falcons better after 9 games than you expected that they would be at this point?
No. I expected them to be Super Bowl contenders with the fact that now they have a quarterback. And the quarterback, I mean, just think about it. This time last year, we were looking at Heinicke. We were looking at Ritter. Mm-hmm. Whoever we had. We were looking at those kind of guys. And now that we have a real quarterback who's set this offense up for real time, you know, big plays, we have a deep threat now. And it's like, I didn't want sexy wins. I don't care about sexy wins. I don't care about stat padding. I don't care about Kyle Pitts going for 1,510 touchdowns. I wanted wins, and that's what we're getting. And we're getting them against quality opponents. We're running the division, and I don't care about anything else other than wins. Playoff wins, I don't care how they look. Just give me the wins.
Exactly.
Daddy.
Exactly. I agree with everything you said, and he's absolutely correct. You can always – it's easier to nitpick in a win than it is, you know, because in a loss it's more – blame than anything like that. But when you win a football game, especially NFL game, because Jay, I've been in it, it's hard to win them, and it's hard to win a division. And the way the Falcons are, you can talk about the injuries in Tampa, the disarray, what's going on in New Orleans. What the hell is going on up there in Charlotte for the Carolina Panthers? That ain't the Falcons' problem, because the Falcons got to handle what the Falcons can handle, and that's all is what's in front of them, and they're doing it. I just don't know. Right now, on the defensive side of the ball, are they good enough in the play? And anything can change, because you remember, John, when they went to the Super Bowl, they didn't hit their defensive stride to win December. And then it was like one of those things where they just got better and got better and got better. I just don't know where this team's going to get better at defensively. I don't see anybody that's on, you know what I mean? Unless you go get a prime plus defensive pass rusher, defensive tackle. I just don't, or like you said, a scheme change. And you don't want to change the scheme too much. You might want to do different things in that scheme. I don't know. I put them right up there. Because I still think Detroit is the class of the NFC. Yeah. All right. And then a healthy San Francisco getting Christian McCaffrey back and them healthy is going to be a problem. And outside of that, I just see Atlanta right there. And I don't see a team that Atlanta can't beat right there. And I'm not saying that I think Atlanta could beat San Fran or Detroit. I just think when you look at other teams right there, Green Bay, Arizona, the Rams, all the teams. Rams, what a great throw by Matt Stafford yesterday. The Folk Valley's finest, Marcus Robinson. But you see different things like that. But I put the Falcons right there. The Falcons' defense, can they get stops when they need to get stops, John? Can they get that turnover? Can they get that sack? Those are my only questions with this team right now. Because offensively, they can go with anybody. In the National Football League, not just the NFC, in the National Football League, I think the Falcons' offense can go with anybody. Can their defense? Because a lot of times, John, it comes down to maybe maybe three stops. And I'm not even talking turnovers, just getting off the field. I think that's my thing with the Falcons. Can they get off the field when they need to get off the field?
You can join 90-time the game and Bud Light for a Falcons versus, pardon me, I have to do this, launch party. It is coming up this Sunday at 1 o'clock kick at Mazzy's Sports Tavern in Duluth, Georgia. Watch the Falcons take on the with 92.9 The Game's Andy Bunker. Freddie the Falcon and the cheer team win Falcons tickets, autographed football by A.J. Terrell. Specials on Bud Light. Must be 21 and older. Please drink responsibly. That's a watch party at Mazzy's in Duluth on Sunday for that game against the Swampers. All right, Falcons, 6-3 on the year. And again, we're talking about the fact that we're unhappy about the fact that they're not being more of a team that can show us that possibly they can win a Super Bowl. Boy, we haven't been to the playoffs in 7 years. Let's get there first on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.